Hey, Dan.
Hey, Pat.
How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm swell.
Excellent.
So here we are. Episode 1, episode 2, call it what you will, of the unofficial, or what did we, the
no way official.
We're still working on it. Yeah, we're still working on a title, but point is we're here.
Yep. We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we received your feedback, and we will be taking as much of it into consideration as we can. I think there's some really good suggestions out there.
Yeah, it was. I was impressed that a fair number of people wanted to listen to us talk about Dominion. it's like, all right,
yeah.
I'll take it.
I guess it makes sense.
Yeah,
I think you and I would both say it's.
I mean, I guess I would listen to other, like, if there had already been a Dominion podcast, I guess I would be listening to it. So
or
there
you
go.
Check it out. You know, check it out once.
You just sounded Canadian.
What's that?
You just sounded Canadian.
I know. I was trying to fool the non.
Good job.
Thank you.
So yes, thank you everyone. Oh, and I really also liked, I just want to acknowledge one person in particular. I really liked, Jeff B on Board Game Geek and his podcast, his suggested names for the podcast.
Yeah.
Particularly, I really enjoyed plus one card, plus one action, plus one podcast. I really like that. Maybe, maybe we'll go with
clever.
That. I don't
know. We'll see.
Anyway,
we're still working on it. No commitments just yet.
Thank you, Jeff B.
Yes.
And then the other thing we just wanted to say at the top of the hour was we are going to attempt to make this a enhanced podcast. One of the things in particular, one of the things that was repeated a few times in feedback is that we were maybe talking a little too either quickly or basically we were not spelling out like what specific cards did. So we're going to have like changing album art on this podcast. So you'll hear a little noise or I don't know if we'll actually even do
the noise
that.
Will sound like this.
Oh, we'll fix that in post. And then look at your iPhone or other device that has a screen.
Your device.
Yes, and we'll put a picture of the card up there. So
indeed.
There you go.
Boom.
So I think that's all the stuff. So we are recording this on Sunday, June 9th, and I only mention that because all this week was Guilds previews.
Yay.
So this will be a special Guilds edition of whatever this podcast is eventually called. We're going to go over the five cards that were revealed. And I imagine probably, you know, somewhere down the line, we will talk about the other presumably eight. I think it's going to be a 13 card set. So probably the other eight cards. So that is what we're going to talk about for the most part today. But first, we're going to recap a game.
Yay.
So I dug deep into the isotropic logs. And found an oldie but a goodie for all y'all. Just because Dan went over one of his games last week, so I found one of mine to go over. Yeah,
yeah, we'll take turns. And what we're thinking we'll do, as per one of the suggestions in the future, is we will actually play a game
against
one another.
Yes,
and that'll be fun.
There will be blood.
Exactly. And when we do that, we will also. We will discuss it like immediately afterwards. We're not going to actually record ourselves playing the game, but we'll play the game and then record ourselves talking about it afterwards, which I think could be
some people
a little bit less uninteresting than the way we did it last time.
So you have that to look forward to.
Indeed.
But for this episode, like I said, it is from back of the day. It's an old isotropic game. Just looking at the date on the podcast or on the file here, it's from September 2011. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Let's give some props to the guys who did councilroom.com and the whole, I mean, and I think it goes without saying, but let's just give a quick overview. Prior to what is now known as the official online Dominion card playing experience, there was a tremendously cool version of Dominion Online, commonly referred to as ISO, short for isotropic, which sadly is no longer with us. But that was my real intro to the game. I mean, Pat introduced me to Dominion a couple years ago, and I didn't really take to it too quickly, just because, you know, it's the kind of game where it takes a couple of plays through to really get the hang of it. And once I discovered the isotropic version of Dominion, within one evening of playing, I don't know, a dozen games, I was hooked. And
the bug.
I credit isotropic to me developing my very strong affinity for Dominion.
Indeed. So. Big ups to Doug Z, or just Doug's.
Doug's. Thank you very much again. We very much appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
So that said, why don't we go over the cards in this kingdom real quick?
So it goes embargo, trade route, conspirator, horse traders, quarry, smithy, spy, throne room, city, minion.
Yep. And this was also just a note, this is a colony and platinum game as well.
So Dan, yep. Off the top of your head, how would you open this game?
Well, assuming I was going to get 3-4.
Yeah.
I would probably go with either a quarry or a conspirator. I'm pretty fond of those cards.
Sure.
Especially up front. And I'm also pretty fond of the trade route just for getting rid of stuff pretty quickly.
Indeed. So, I think that's
I might
the
go
only...
like either silver conspirator or quarry silver. I'm not sure. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, if we go look at the log, I believe I opened quarry silver.
How about that?
Indeed.
How'd that turn out?
Okay.
Let's take a quick second. So, let's take a quick second and just go over what the cards are.
Yeah, before we get too far into this.
Exactly. So first card, we have Embargo, part of Seaside. And that is a little tricky card. I don't think it got played too much in this game, if at all.
It's a cost 2, so it gives you 2 virtual coin. And it says, trash this card, put an embargo token on top of a supply pile. And then... Yep. The clause there is that when a player buys a card, he gains a curse per embargo token on that pile. So basically you can't shut down a pile, but you can disincentivize people buying from it.
It's true. Something that some folks may not know about the clause about the embargo card is that note that it says when a player buys a card, not when a player gains a card.
Indeed.
So you can sort of circumvent an embargoed pile by other means.
I don't think there's a way to do that on this board, but yeah, there are certainly kingdoms in which you can gain a card but not buy it, in which case you can get around that mandatory curse gainer.
Exactly.
After that is trade route. That gives you +1 buy, +1 coin per token on the trade route mat, and then you have to trash a card from your hand. And then underneath that, there's a little clause about setting it up, but basically it's you put a token on each victory card on the game. So what that means is that when a card is gained from a victory point pile, you move that coin onto the trade route mat. And then from that point on in the game, when you play a trade route, you get a coin.
And on this particular board, again, remember, we're talking about platinums and colonies here. The trade route has a potential value of $4 for
Indeed.
Each use if somebody wants all of the victory cards have been purchased at least once.
After that, we've got Conspirator. Conspirator gives you +2 coins, and then the clause under that is, if you've played 3 or more actions this turn, counting this card, +1 card, +1 action. So it rewards you for playing a lot of actions in your turn.
Yeah, it's very useful, especially in multiples.
After that's Horse Traders. That's a cost 4, and it gives you +1 buy, +3 coins, and you have to discard 2 cards. It's also a reaction card, which is huge on this board, as you'll see momentarily. The reaction portion of the card is, when another player plays an attack card, you may set this aside from your hand. If you do, then at the start of your next turn, +1 card and return this to your hand. So basically, if you've got a hand-size attack, like a militia, or as we'll see shortly, a minion, you happen to have horse traders in your hand, your next turn you'll have 6 cards in hand, including that horse traders. So that's super cool. After that is quarry, which costs 4, and it's a special treasure card. It's worth 1. And while this is in play, action cards cost 2 less, but not less than 0. So basically, it just gives you a discount on... action cards.
A nice additional perk of the quarry is that it stacks, so you can purchase multiple quarries and get card prices down to 0, which is kind of cool.
It's super handy. After that is our old friend the smithy. He costs 4 and he just gives you +3 cards.
These are all, the next few are base set cards. Spy is our next card, +1 card, +1 action. Each player, including you, reveals the top card of his deck and either discards it or puts it back. Your choice.
Indubitably.
Yep. Super handy.
After that's Throne Room, we all know that. Costs 4, choose an action card in your hand to play it twice. Mm-hmm. No big.
Now we get to the tricky cards, the key cards of this particular kingdom.
So there are 2 5-cost cards. You'll see what happens.
Yes. So, first up is City, which is one of my, I would say it's in my top 10 all-time favorite cards. It's a really handy card. It doesn't always work, but in some cases can be
But when it does
powerful.
Work, oh it works. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's +1 card, +2 actions. And the text reads, if there are 1 or more empty supply piles, +1 card. If there are 2 or more, +1 coin, and +1 buy. So it has the potential to become +1, +2 cards, +2 actions, +$1, +1 buy.
What?
That is a very powerful card.
Crazy.
But as we say, activating a city does come, you know, very late in the game, and 2 other piles have to be empty. And in my experience, it's not unusual for city itself to be one of the emptied piles. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that as we talk
as
about
we go
game.
Over the game.
And our final card,
the minion. Minion is a 5-cost card, and it gives you +1 action, and then you have a choosing clause. So choose one. So you either get +2 coin, or you discard your hand, +4 cards, and each other player with at least 5 cards in hand discards his hand and draws 4 cards. So it's an attack either way, whether you play it for those +2 coins or the 4 cards action. And it works well in multiples. So that's the game. That's the kingdom.
That's the set.
That's the set.
So let's take a peek here at what everybody opened with, and then maybe we can cruise some of the highlights.
Indeed.
So this, unlike last week's game, this is a 3-player game. We figured we'd try and vary it up a little bit. Fortunately, this one goes pretty quickly, so it won't take too long to talk about. Player 1 opens with Trade Route and Horse Traders. And Player 2 opens with Quarry Silver. And Player 3 opens with Trade Route...
Quarry,
sorry.
Yeah.
I got distracted.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So I believe you you may have predicted my hand. I went Quarry Silver.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, hey, there's I need some of these powerful actions. Actually, I have no idea what I was thinking in 2011. I'm guessing the Pat of the past thought, oh, I'll get Quarry for cheap stuff, and it'll all work out great. Mm-hmm. And clearly, my opponents both opened with Trade Routes, thinking they need to trash down to probably trim their decks to get to those more powerful actions more frequently. I'm guessing that's what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. So that's how it opened, and it kind of moved along, as you would expect. They were trade routing away, their estates, just to trim their deck. And then by around turn 4 and 5, people started getting 5 coins on a turn, started buying minions and cities. And those got played or not played, and, a few times the, Horse Traders minion combo worked out. I remember when Horse Traders came out, when I guess Horse Traders was in Cornucopia, and immediately everyone was like, all the Dominion nerds were like, oh, that's the gold standard of minion counters. Because basically you set aside horse, like if you get hit with a minion and you have Horse Traders in your hand, that's like awesome, because you set aside your Horse Traders, you get hit, you set aside your Horse Traders, and then it's basically as if the minion didn't even hit.
Right, because again, just to recap what the minion does, if your hand only has 4 cards in it, you're immune to the minion attack.
Yeah, it's like a good thing, almost. Mm-hmm. So things kind of continued on from there. On turn 7, I managed probably my best move of the game, which is not saying much. Mm-hmm. I managed to Throne Room a minion, which is a nice little combo, because basically you play the minion once for 2 coins, and then you can discard and draw back up to 4, and you have a nice little, you know, you get an attack in there, and you also get some money out of it. Mm-hmm. we continuing on, cities kept getting bought. So basically, high level, the reason why I picked this game out is because it illustrates, it kind of illustrates how three player differs in that I think in a city game, and in a two player city game, cities sometimes empty, sometimes don't. In a three player game, you need to get on that city. Like, cities are going.
I think it is a safe assumption
that cities are going. And sure enough, by around turn, I'm scrolling down here, by turn 11, cities are gone.
Yeah.
Which is something. So obviously on turn 11, guess who emptied the city pile?
Oh,
I did.
Yes.
So that is a risky move. If you can somehow manage in this, I don't know, it sometimes works out, sometimes it doesn't. If you can manage to empty the city pile during your turn rather than at the end of your turn,
right,
cities will activate mid-turn, which is awesome.
This is, yeah, this is true. So in an instance of that is like remodeling or remaking or,
right,
you know, some other card that kills another card to get you another card while it's still your turn. Alter would be another good example of how to,
yeah,
do that.
Sadly, on this board, that was not the case. So somebody had to empty the city pile, and it was me.
Yes.
So immediately, the very next move, as Sad Panda Honda immediately gains the benefit of me buying the city and plays 1, 2, 3, 4. He plays 6 cities on his turn.
Yeah.
Each granting him 2 actions and 2 cards.
Yeah. He also plays 2 trade routes, getting him 2 more buys, plus a horse traders, which gives him another buy.
Yeah.
And a quarry at the end of his turn, making everything cheaper. So,
and with all that, he buys 4 minions.
Yeah. That's a pretty epic turn. So,
yeah. And it just gets crazier from there.
Yeah.
And so minions in particular are also great in aggregate. Like, there are three cards on this board that have self synergy that combo well with each other: city, minion, and conspirator. And mm-hmm. if you can get a lot of any of those and kind of trim your deck down so it's just those, that's fine. Like, you can have a game where you just buy conspirators, and I've done that before. Where,
yeah,
if you can get a decent chunk of the conspirators, that can be your entire deck, and you can just cruise through it.
Yeah, having just four conspirators is actually, yeah, really, it's a good number for me. I don't necessarily go after all of them. I think once I have 4 or 5 at the most.
Sure.
And again, with a three-player game, sometimes you're lucky, you know, if you can,
yeah,
get 4. You know,
yeah,
sometimes that's
and the same deal with minion. If you can do a minion, like, that is also, that's,
yeah,
minion is a strategy unto itself.
Absolutely. I've been minioned to death many,
indeed,
times.
So it goes on a bit more there, and then guess what happens on turn 12?
Oh no!
You activate
the final stage of the city.
I activate the cities again, buying,
yes,
the last minion. At which point, on the very next turn, my good buddy Sad Panda plays another 6 cities, probably the same 6 cities he did before.
Indeed.
So now, not only are the cities getting him +2 cards, +2 actions, they're also giving him additional buy and digital coin per one being played.
And it's not unusual at that point for the next turn after the city is fully activated to be the final turn of the game.
Sure.
I've seen that happen a lot. I'm surprised that didn't happen this time.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the... I mean, it was... Yeah, it was getting close to the end there. Finally, things proceed a little bit more. I do not get virtually any victory points. And then on turn 14, Sad Panda has what many Dominion players would call a mega turn.
Epic mega turn.
In which case he pretty much plays his entire deck and, finishes off the conspirator pile and buys 2 colonies and a province to end the game.
Yeah.
So
played. And the final score.
The final score there is Sand Panda had 46 points. Craig came in the middle there with 19.
And Pat walks away with 4.
With 4 points.
4
Oh my
states.
God.
That, yeah,
was awful.
Ouch.
So yeah, we just wanted to highlight this game in particular because it just illustrates A, sort of how multiplayer is a bit different, and B, how important cities are, but also getting on the better chunk of minions and conspirators is also pretty huge.
So This game is available for your perusal, both on DominionDeck.com and in the Council Room log vault, for lack of a better term.
There will be links to each in the show notes.
Exactly.
So, cool, man.
Yeah.
So let's finish up. Let's talk about all these guild cards.
Yeah.
How exciting is this?
New exciting cards.
Yeah, we should cherish these days because they will soon be over.
Indeed.
So Monday through Friday this week, Donald X Vaccarino revealed one card a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go over them real quick. So on Monday, he revealed what I think is my favorite card of the five cards.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Which is I really like this card.
Baker?
Baker. I love it. I love it.
Basic for me.
Sorry, bro. Sometimes the basic cards are the ones people like.
No, I like a basic card, but of the five, I mean, really, I don't know.
Well, all right. We'll find out what yours is. Yeah. So Baker, just to go over it, is a five cost card. It gives you plus one card, plus one action, and you get to take a coin token. Mm. And then underneath that, it says set up each player takes a coin token. So this is so the coin tokens are one of the themes of Dominion Guilds. And we've seen two cards that interact with them so far, and I imagine there'll be probably one or two more. And what coin tokens are basically money in the bank. So you accrue coin tokens by playing this Baker. Every time you play it, you get a coin token. And then in your buy phase, you can spend your coin tokens as a little added boost. So if you're stuck at 7 and you want to buy a province, you can spend a coin token and go to 8.
It's kind of cool. It's basically like having a spare coin available to you whenever you need it.
At your leisure. Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I think is awesome about it is that at the start of the game, everybody gets a coin token. So if Baker's on the board, whether or not you bought a Baker or not, you get a coin token, which is also cool because it does one of the things that I really like that's been happening in these recent Dominion expansions is Donald's been kind of messing around with the opening game. So up until Hinterlands, basically you had your 7 coppers and you either got 3 and then 4 or you got 5 and then 2 or those two were switched around. And that was it. That was how Dominion opened.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in Hinterlands, they added, I guess Nomad Camp was the first card that monkeyed around with it. So Nomad Camp is a 4-cost card and basically it's a slightly improved woodcutter. So it gives you plus 2 coins and plus an additional buy. But the trick on Nomad Camp was when you buy it, you put it on top of your deck. So basically, if you opened with 4 and you bought a Nomad Camp, you would put it on top of your deck, and then you could conceivably get 4 again. So you could, open 4-4, and that was like, whoa, this is crazy.
I think Mandarin is like that too, right? Mandarin's a little weird.
So Mandarin had a similar thing where basically the if you opened 5-2 with Mandarin, you would open with 5 on Mandarin, buy it, and then any coins that you had in play you would put back on top of your deck so you could open 5 infinitely. You would never do that. I mean, you could do that. It's not a good idea. So that was a similar thing. So that happened a bit more in Dark Ages, and now here we are again in Baker. And Baker, I think, is the one that monkeys around with the most, because now you can open like 4-4, which just leads to some crazy strategies. Like, as many people have noticed, you can now open treasure map.
Yeah,
which is like, not wow. That's okay.
That's a good tactic. Yeah. I mean, in theory, if you're a fan of Treasure Map, I know
you are.
I love Treasure Map.
I hate it.
Oh, come on. Treasure Map is great. When there's, that's one of the best payoffs, I think, of all
it's,
of the
it's very know. high variance, as they say.
I've gotten really lucky with maybe that's part of the reason why I like it. But I tend to get my treasure maps tend to hit within one or two turns of me getting the two of them together. Like having two of them in the deck.
And that does not happen for me. Hence, I do not like Treasure Map.
Well, all right.
Yeah. The biggest downside I can think of with Baker is possession.
Mm.
Right?
I can see that being bad.
Yeah. So possession tweaks with a game in so many different ways.
Possession probably deserves its own podcast.
Just a whole episode about possession. Yeah. So possession, the problem with possession is that usually people can't screw with you too badly. I mean, there are certain red flag cards where if possession's on the board paired with something else, you that affects your strategy in a substantial way. And I would consider Baker in that, because basically Baker, if you're accruing a bunch of these coin tokens and you get possessed, like, say goodbye to your coin tokens. They are all getting spent on your possessed turn.
Now, are we sure that that's how it works?
Yeah, that is how it works.
Really? So when you're, because that's not, I mean, I get that, but it's not, I don't think it's super cut and dry and clear to me. The reason I say that is because I know from reading on many discussions and rule interpretations that possession doesn't work that way with victory point tokens a la monument or bishop.
Well,
or goons, for that matter. So if somebody plays a possession, and I, you know, and I'm my hand being possessed, they play a monument, I still keep the victory token.
So let me clarify, because Baker does work like that, in that when like plus one card, plus one action, take a coin token. So you would the player would still get that coin token,
right?
But the possessor could then spend those coin tokens. So that's
assuming they have their own coin tokens.
No, they're playing.
Really?
Yeah, man. So you're not a, I mean, well, I don't know. I really like Baker. You like it, but you don't love it. It's fine. Okay. Let's go to card number two, which I think you enjoy a great deal.
I like that. Yeah, that's the doctor. I'll read the text for that one. It is, let's see, it's an action, and it starts off with name a card. Reveal the top three cards of your deck, trash the matches, put the rest back on top in any order. And then it goes on to say, when you buy this, you may overpay for it. For each coin that you overpaid, look at the top card of your deck, trash it, discard it, or put it back. And then in the lower left-hand corner where the price is, the cost is three, but there's a little plus symbol next to it, meaning that it is a card that you can overpay for, which is another one of the new mechanics in the Guilds expansion, the concept of overpaying, which I think is super cool. Because I don't know about you guys, but from the very early days, I mean, I've been trying to spread the Dominion love and introduce new people to the game. And I have noticed that new players have a really hard time resisting the urge to buy the most expensive card they can with how much money they have. And then when they don't, there's some remorse. It's like, I only have six and I can't resist, must buy that gold. But you've already got three gold,
it's
dude.
Like,
maybe you should consider an action.
It's fundamental to like the human condition, I think.
You want to get your money's worth, man.
Even if it is fake money. It's fake money, but totally.
This addresses that particular mechanic, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The one thing I got a little confused with right off the bat was the first couple lines here. So the whole name a card, reveal the top three cards of your deck, trash the matches. For my initial interpretation of this, which turned out to be incorrect, was that you would basically just look for dupes. So like if I revealed the top three cards of my deck and I got three coppers, I would trash the coppers. But obviously, upon closer inspection, the matches referred to are the named card from the first line of the card.
Yeah, it's an odd phrasing.
Mm. What? Cards having odd phrasing?
No.
In Dominion? Sorry. It happens.
Yeah, I like Doctor as well. I mean, I love Trasher. Doctor? Trashers. I like a good trasher, and this I think qualifies as a good trasher. I think it's good. It's good early in the game.
Yeah, definitely a good starter card.
When you have a lot of matches, as the game progresses though,
estates
and your deck
and coppers,
sure,
goodbye.
As the game progresses though, and your deck becomes more diverse with differently named cards, it obviously loses a bit of its use, but it's still super cool.
It
has kind of a so that's regarding the top part, and then regarding the overpaying part, I like that it's sort of a lookout-ish. It is lookout-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's look at the top card of your deck, trash it, discard it, or put it back. That is very, you know, those are the three components of lookout, and I like lookout a great deal just because I like rolling the dice.
Yeah, I tend to avoid lookout. Lookout's one of those cards that I will purchase as long as there's a means of getting rid of it.
After it has served its purpose.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it for the first five turns to get rid of copper.
I even love it when it blows up in my face, when you turn over three provinces or three colonies.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I've had it turn over three provinces. I wasn't there,
but I heard the story.
Yeah, I've never had it.
That was funny.
Three colonies. Shall we move on?
Moving on.
Journeyman debuted on Wednesday. I will read Journeyman. So Journeyman is a 5 cost, and it says, name a card. It's an action card. It says, name a card, reveal cards from the top of your deck until you reveal 3 cards that are not the named card. Put those cards into your hand and discard the rest. So it is what we Dominion nerds would refer to as a terminal draw card, meaning terminal, meaning that it does not give you additional actions and draw and that you're drawing cards. So basically it's a smithy, you know, it gives you 3 cards with a little twist. It's a smithy with a twist. The Journeyman. Ask for it by name. What do you think of Journeyman, Dan?
I think it has a lot of potential. This definitely speaks to the tactic of, you know, of knowing your deck. I think if you start reading articles and analyzing the play habits of the most successful, you know, better players, and you ask them, hey, man, what are some of your tips and tricks to playing better? One of the things that they'd say is to try to get as close of a recall on your deck as possible. So to know what cards you have and how many of them, what you're expecting to be drawing, what you've just discarded, et cetera.
What you've seen in the shuffle and what you haven't seen in the shuffle.
Exactly. Like, you know, yeah, I know I bought a remodel, you know, and it's in here somewhere, and I'm already 2/3 of the way through my deck. There's only 4 cards in my discard pile. It's probably in one of the, you know, it's probably one of those. So things like that come in handy in a situation like this where you can basically, you know, go for that one specific card that you need that could really help you out.
Yeah.
Help you out. Yeah. So yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like it. I think it works really well in what you would refer to as a big money game. Like
sure.
if it's one of the few actions in your hand, you would say provinces or estates. That's what you would name to avoid those cards. And hopefully you just draw some money and play it.
Totally.
I mean, which is basically the same strategy with a smithy. Like when you play smithy, you just want to draw money.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a cost of 5. It's another fiver, which is nice. Moving on to the 4th card in the preview, the Butcher.
Yes.
Also a 5 card, and I think you were saying that this is your favorite. This is a little tricky. The text reads, take 2 coin tokens. You may trash a card from your hand and then pay any number of coin tokens. If you did trash a card, gain a card with a cost of up to the cost of the trashed card plus the number of coin tokens you paid.
What?
Yeah, that is a mouthful.
There's a lot. I like in Donald's little blurb, he had a little blurb for all the cards, and he said, Butcher also fits into the 5th theme of guilds, which is wordy cards.
Yeah. So why don't you, I think, did you say this was your favorite?
Well, I think Baker's technically my favorite, but I do enjoy Butcher a great deal as well.
So what do you like so much about this one?
Well, Butcher is sort of like a remodel, and if you guys listened to the first episode of the podcast, I extolled the virtues of remodel, and this is a similar thing. So basically it's a trasher that allows you, at least guaranteed on the first try, or on the first time through your deck, to be able to upgrade a card to something costing up to 2 more. But if you don't use those coin tokens and you play Butcher again later on, you could use all of your coin tokens to increase the value of a card up to 4 times.
Right. So off the bat, the first thing you do is you take 2 coin tokens. So this is guaranteed at the very minimal, you get 2 coin tokens.
Right.
The trashing element is a conditional. You may trash a card, so you don't have to.
Right.
And obviously, if you don't have any coins yet, coin tokens, I should say, you might not want to, because like you said, this becomes sort of like a variable dynamic remodel that you can, or for that matter, an expand where you can essentially, you know, upgrade your card to something way more valuable depending on how many tokens you have.
Indeed.
That's kind of cool.
It's I'm a sucker for trashers.
Yeah, me too. I love a good trasher. Yeah.
I've never met it. I'd say I'd never met a treasure I didn't like, but I don't particularly care for loan. But other than that.
Yeah. See, I think I would actually buy a loan before I would buy a lookout.
Okay. Well, that's the difference between you and me.
Well,
that's the only difference.
Because loans focus solely on treasures. You're not going to be trashing one of your provinces with a loan. That's all I'm saying.
Just putting that out there. Yeah, so that's Butcher. It's I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, not bad.
I consider it sort of an improved remodel, which, you know, it's priced accordingly. It's a little more pricey than a remodel, but it's also a little more versatile.
Special.
And it's got some gruesome card art.
Oh my God. Do we need let's take a second here now.
Okay.
What is up with the card art?
The card art has really taken a dive, man.
I don't get it, man. Well, I'd also, you know, again, so let's back up or zoom out a little bit here. Something I noticed from the very get-go when I first, you know, from my first time handling Dominion cards was just how disparate, how different and inconsistent the card art was from one card to the next. Even in the base set, you know, some of the cards, well, they're obviously the art is done by, you know, more than one person.
Yeah, there's a variety of artists.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not hating here. I'm not saying that any one particular artist is better than another. What I personally would prefer, maybe this is just the OCD control freak in me, but I kind of like some consistency, you know. And I would love to see one artist's interpretation for all of the cards, just for a nice kind of clean, consistent take.
Sure.
On the cards. So I guess my critique is that while I get the concept of sharing the wealth and spreading the work, because I mean, how many different cards are we looking at here?
That's what Dominion's all about, baby.
There are literally hundreds. Like I think there's close to 200 unique cards in Dominion, each of which has its own artwork. You know, some of them are obviously like the money cards are pretty much the same, but you know, as far as actions and all of the other.
I think someone did the math, and it's going to work out to be exactly 200 Kingdom cards when
really?
The guilds is all done.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of art for one person. So I get the idea, and you know, I'm sure Donald has friends, you know, who are artists that he'd like to, you know, help make the cool stuff. But there is a part of me that would, you know, would have loved. Oh, who knows? Actually, you know, here's a suggestion.
Okay.
Here's what I would love to see when this is all said and done.
Uh huh.
In the vein of the recently released base set pack, you know, where like with the updated money art, I would love to see some sort of preposterously huge mega pack type thing where every single Dominion card that has ever been made and released is available in one flat purchase, you know, box. I mean, that'd be a hell of a big box. But all of the art would be like super consistent, and it could even be simpler too. You know, it doesn't have to have all this fancy sort of medieval themed business going on. But that's just me.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Guess what's not going to happen?
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, probably. I can dream, though. I can dream.
You can.
So, anyway, that's just my take.
Your dreams will not come true.
Shut up.
let's round this out.
Sure.
Last card. Preview number 5.
I will read
the Herald.
It is the Herald. And the Herald costs $4, and it has one of those nifty little plus symbols next to it, so it's an overpay card. It is plus one card, plus one action, and the text reads, reveal the top card of your deck. If it is an action, play it. And then below that, it says, when you buy this, you may overpay for it. For each coin that you overpaid, look through your discard pile and put a card from it on top of your deck. And that is a pretty amazing little perk, I think. The first half of the card on its own is super handy. One card, one action, and if you draw an action, bang, play it.
It's
now,
basically two cards, two actions.
Right. Now, that could be counterproductive depending on the action that you have. You know, I'm getting the impression here that you have to play whatever that action is.
Yeah.
And if that's something like, say, a junk dealer or a remodel that you might not necessarily want to play right this second.
Sure.
That might not be the best
situation. I would say more often than not, it's going to work out, but it definitely could screw you.
Yeah. But if you tailor your deck towards this, if you, like, for example, if you have a bunch of heralds,
sure.
those could chain pretty well. But what's more interesting is the overpay factor.
Indeed.
And that is extremely useful because, the thing that jumps right out at me is when you purchase cards, they go into your discard pile. So in theory, you could top deck a card that you just bought your last turn without having to wait for a reshuffle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got an interesting, it's a little bit like in, from Hinterlands.
Oh, yeah.
You can kind of muck around with your discard pile,
is a little bit more random, though. Further on in the game, since you have to shuffle it in.
Right. But it has that weird, like, there's not a lot of Dominion cards that do this, where it's like, look through your discard pile.
Yeah,
like,
that's a weird thing. The only other one I can think of is Scavenger from Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Which does a similar trick where you can look through your discard pile. Well, you have the option of discarding your entire deck and then top decking a card from that big discard pile. Which is
Another Dark Ages would be Madman. Or not Madman, but Hermit. Where, like, you look through your discard.
Right.
Just the whole look through your discard pile is just an odd.
I think it's cool. I think it's nice to see now later in the, in the history.
Yeah, it probably should not have been introduced early, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. The other thing that struck me as soon as I saw Herald is that it is an excellent counter to Ghost Ship, which one of my dreaded, just because it slows the game down so much. But it's, like, a perfect counter to it, because... you keep the Herald and you put two cards on top of your... So basically the attack on Ghost Ship, for those of you unfamiliar, is the person who played it gets to draw two cards, and the people who it was played against have to put cards on top of their deck until they only have three cards in hand. So basically it's usually you're putting two cards on top of your deck. Mm-hmm. And this Herald gets right around that, because basically you keep the Herald in your hand, and when you play it, you get one of the cards you put back on top of your deck, and if you're smart and hopefully had another action in your hand... you'll just pick that up and play it immediately. It's perfect.
Very cool.
I like it.
And that rounds out the first bunch of previews.
Indeed.
As I'm sure the other Dominion card fans out there
If you're listening to this podcast, it's like
reasonable
Christmas.
To assume that you are as eager as we are for the remaining cards to be previewed.
And it will be soon. So I guess tomorrow. It's coming out in Origins Game Fair in Ohio next weekend, I believe.
Mm.
I'm sure that someone's going to snap some pics with their cell phone cam. And
I don't know why. We have pretty decent looking art right here on the website.
It's true.
Whatevs. You know, to each his own.
I mean, of the eight cards that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You don't think we'll get previews for those?
No, the previews are done.
Oh, really?
Sorry, bro.
Oh. I must have misread it.
Oh.
Wah.
Wah.
Well, yeah.
We'll know soon enough. And, probably the next episode, if we do another episode of this, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and maybe we'll have another game to talk about.
Very good.
thank you very much for listening, if you're still with us. We do very much appreciate your feedback, and if anyone has any thoughts, suggestions, critiques, please do let us know, and we will do our best to incorporate them. And maybe we'll see you online.
Indeed. Cool, man.
Rejoice in your shared victory.
Yes, everyone out there. We will rejoice in ours.
Yay.
You rejoice in yours.
Good day.
All right.
Bye.
Take it easy, Dan. Later.